This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehiz Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
we're not expecting much, and that's mostly because both nations are looking for a steer from the European Union on where the whole migrant crisis goes from here.
That's the reporter Catherine Field in Paris speaking on today's meeting in Paris between France's President Macron and Italy's Prime Minister Conte. We'll have the latest developments coming up.
Also, a high school for girls in Kenya is closed indefinitely after students walked out to protest alleged sexual harassment by a staff member. And with star Mohamed Salah on the sidelines, Egypt suffered a tough 1-0 loss in its opening match at the World Cup today.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, families are in search of scores of the more than 2,000 Cameroonian migrants who were rescued in Libya and brought back to the Central African state by the International Organization for Migration. Moki Edwin Kinzaka reports from Yaoundé.
More than 100 Cameroonians cheered and sang the Central African country's national anthem upon arrival at the Yaoundé Simalén International Airport from Libya this week. They are received by curious onlookers, their family members and government authorities. Social worker Priscan Demaya says among the 60 people arriving in desperate conditions are children.
I have a case of two children, each between 6 months and 2 years old. Their mothers were shot in Libya. And so these children were lucky to come back home safely. After all the preliminary health examination done on the children, we are going to secure the children at the Center for Distressed Children.
Olive Mboze, a 32-year-old breastfeeding mother, has also arrived in Yaoundé. She says her husband stayed behind in Algeria, where they had flown from Cameroon, with the hope of finding a way to Italy. It was when she got to the Libyan city of Beida that she discovered she was 1 month pregnant. She worked as a housekeeper and reported herself to the police when the pregnancy reached 7 months. She says she was charged with illegal immigration and instead taken to a prison in Beida where she delivered her child.
D'autres femmes n'avaient pas de liette.
She says some women who delivered had neither sanitary papers for themselves nor napkins for their babies and had to cut their dresses into pieces to clean themselves and their newborn babies. The migrants looked tired and exhausted and told stories of torture and how some of them were killed or went missing and how some were trapped in the desert or at sea. The International Organization for Migration gives $150 to each of the migrants who return to buy food and gifts for their families. This poultry farm is in Ahala, on the outskirts of Cameroon capital Yaoundé. It was opened a year ago by Henri and Pierre Bekolgi, two brothers who returned from Libya and benefited $4,000 for a scheme set up by the Cameroon government to socially integrate the migrants. Pierre says his brother, Henri, sold the first chickens and a portion of land they inherited from their parents and left again for another adventure to Europe through North Africa. Pierre says he is also planning to leave. He says he is still determined to go to Europe and is working hard to raise funds to leave Cameroon. He says he was unlucky when he arrived in Libya a year ago and fell in the hands of people who duped him and took his money, but that some of his friends succeeded and tell him their living conditions have improved. He says he has seen so many people who braved the difficulties, traveled to Europe and are now investing back at home, unlike his friends who graduated from university, remained in Cameroon and shared rooms, food and dresses with their family members just because they do not have jobs. Pierre refused to say when he would leave, but said it was imminent. He said he cannot remain in the poultry business because he is a law graduate from the University of Yaoundé. Cameroon says families are in search of scores of relatives who have again left the country. Officials say they have been warning citizens about the dangers of irregular travel to Europe and encouraging Cameroonians to obtain official travel documents and visas. Cameroon estimates 120,000 of its citizens are illegal migrants, with most trapped by trafficking rings, held in Libyan prisons or refugee camps in Italy. Moki, Edwin Kinzeka, for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte today said his country will present a radical new proposal for a unified approach in dealing with migrant inflows. His comments came after his meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron in Paris. The two met days after sparks flew between their countries over Rome's rejection of a migrant rescue ship. Both politicians agree that the European Union summit coming at the end of June is necessary that new initiatives be discussed together. The French news agency reports Conte said the Italian proposal would include EU-managed migrant reception centers in Africa to process asylum requests. Reporter Catherine Field spoke with me about expectations from the meeting, which comes the same day as an Oxfam International report that accuses France of abusing migrant children.
The expectations are very low. Both the French and the Italian sides have tried to, if you like, downplay not just expectations, but also to downplay the animosity between the two that came out of that decision by France to come down very strongly to criticize Italy for how it has been handling these 600 migrants or so migrants who have been on the Aquarius boat in the Mediterranean. So we're not expecting much, and that's mostly because both nations are looking for a steer from the European Union on where the whole migrant crisis goes from here, how the whole group of European nations is going to deal with it. So because Europe's not divided, neither country can actually decide on what to do, who has shared responsibility for taking care of these migrants.
A new report just came out today in the midst of all the tension, and this comes from Oxfam, entitled Nowhere But Out is the report, and it's claiming children as young as 12 are being abused and detained and sent back from France to Italy. Can you speak more on this report?
Yes, indeed. It was a report that, as you rightly say, came from Oxfam. Well, it alleges that French border police have been making it difficult, not just for migrants to come into France across the Italian border, but also once they're here, that they are allegedly holding them in police cells or border patrol units without access to food or water. They're actually stealing the SIM cards from the telephones of the people who are coming across, and in some cases altering the date of birth for some of the unaccompanied migrant children who come over, because then if they're seen as adults, they're allowed to send them back to Italy. A lot of these allegations have been around in the media before, but this is the first time that we've seen them actually put together in a report. If you cast your mind back just a couple of months, there were allegations that the French border patrols were entering Italian territory to make sure that some of the migrants were actually going back to Italy. So these allegations will certainly focus a lot of attention onto that border area. Now, just in May, we had cases of two migrants dying while coming across from Italy into Spain. There was a young Senegalese man who died, and there was a very young Nigerian woman who also died. Authorities are warning, of course, that as the summer months start approaching, that they do risk finding bodies of migrants who have died trying to cross those alpine routes. Also, we're looking at large numbers coming across. There have been some 1,500 migrants registered as having crossed from Italy into France since January this year. So it is an area of tension, not just between France and Italy, but also inside France as well, because you have very strict divisions on the political spectrum as to what the country should be doing. Some on the political right say, put a border back up, put troops there, make sure they don't cross, whereas those on the left say, look, we cannot be sending people back in this way.
Looking ahead to the end of the month, there is going to be another big migrant summit. What are the expectations from this summit?
The main focus for the summit the countries could agree on is funding, and that means reinforcing Frontex, the European Union's border agency. Within the last month, we've seen the European Union agree to triple the budget for asylum, migration, border and integration, and that is about to go through the Parliament, so we're going to be seeing the Parliament approve a budget of some 34 billion euros for the period starting 2021. That's a huge increase.
That was reporter Catherine Field speaking with me from Paris.
The UN Security Council is coming under pressure to take stronger measures, including possible sanctions, to end the growing battle for control of a key port in Yemen. Human Rights Watch says all warring parties have atrocious records abiding by the laws of war. The conflict raises the risks that the country's humanitarian disaster will become even worse. Already, 22 million people require assistance, and 70% of that aid comes through the port of Hodeidah, which a Saudi-led coalition is trying to retake from Shiite rebels known as Houthis. The coalition assault involves airstrikes, ships, and troops. There are concerns that the battle could shift to the city of Hodeidah, home to 600,000 people, and that the rebels could blow up the port if they're forced out. Sweden's UN envoy says the Security Council should call for an immediate freeze in the assault to provide an opportunity to work out a political settlement.
A high school for girls in Kenya's Narok County is closed indefinitely after students walked out to protest alleged sexual harassment by a staff member. Earlier this month, another school was closed after a teacher was accused of rape. The incidents have left the government scrambling to deal with the problem behind the protests. Ryle Ambor has more from Nairobi.
In what seemed like a well-organized protest at Masai Girls High School, the almost 1,000 students were reported to have walked out of the school at 4 a.m. local time Tuesday. Parents arriving at the school demanded immediate investigation into the matter. Narok District Education Board Chair Samuel Sankale confirmed the incident and said authorities are taking action.
We have decided to close this school. We are investigating a teacher who was trying to force a girl to love him or to have sexual intercourse with him.
More than a week earlier, a rape was reported at Moi Girls High School in Nairobi, forcing the school to be shut down as well. The school's executive board was disbanded by the Cabinet Secretary for Education, Amina Mohammed. She said the education ministry was concerned about the increased cases of sexual assault that had been reported from schools.
I wish I could actually say conclusively that the safety of our children in school, as it should actually be, is guaranteed. I can't tell you that, because these schools are part of our society. And as you know, in all societies, bad things actually happen. I think the saving grace is this, is that we have laws, and those laws must be enforced when these bad things happen.
Police are also investigating an alleged rape attempt at a school in Western Kenya. A man is said to have been hiding under a bed in a girl's dormitory and escaped after being spotted by a school staff member. Mohammed has appointed a team to develop a policy to address sexual abuse in schools.
As a Ministry of Education, we're going to put a policy in place. We're going to take measures that are necessary to ensure that the schools are as safe as they can be. But we all have to play a role. Parents, teachers, neighbors, everybody. Because, you know, it's not happening only in our schools. It's happening in our homes. It's happening in our neighborhoods. It's happening everywhere.
She says the cases at Masai and Moi High School are a real wake-up call for the government. Ryle Ombor, VOA News, Nairobi.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Swuheep. 20 past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Families are in search of scores of the more than 2,000 Cameroonian migrants who were rescued in Libya and brought back to the Central African state. The UN Security Council is coming under pressure to take stronger measures to end the growing battle for control of a key port in Yemen. And a high school for girls in Kenya is closed indefinitely after students walked out to protest alleged sexual harassment by a staff member. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Well, it was a tough opening day for North Africa at the World Cup. Both Egypt and Morocco lost on late goals that broke up scoreless matches. Injured star Mohamed Salah was on the bench but could only watch as Egypt suffered a tough 1-0 loss to Uruguay when José Giménez scored on a header in the 89th minute. Egypt tried to mount a frenzied final effort in injury time but came up short. Things were even more heartbreaking for Morocco when substitute Aziz Bouhadouz headed in on own goal in the 95th minute to give Iran victory in its first World Cup match since 1998. Egypt and Morocco managed to combine for just 7 shots on goal, 3 by Egypt. Egypt has struggled to find its offense, getting only 2 goals in its last 5 friendly matches before the World Cup. Morocco had twice as much possession time as Iran and dominated early, but couldn't break through. The second half had only 1 real opportunity until the devastating own goal as Bouhadouz dove for a corner kick and headed for the ball past his goalie. Also today, Portugal takes on neighboring Spain.
The Democratic Republic of Congo has one of the world's biggest populations of child soldiers. UNICEF says up to 30,000 children are forced to serve armed groups as soldiers, sexual slaves, and laborers. Michael Chikawanin was one of them, now a refugee in Canada. Chikawanin advocates for peace and educates audiences on the plight of child soldiers. Lisa Bryan caught up with him in a city in France's Normandy region, the site of the famous Allied landing during World War II.
Michel Chikwanini is a long way from where he grew up in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, but not from the memories of war. They haunt him every night, ever since he was captured by rebels in the city of Beni at the age of 5. His father had imposed an early evening curfew, but Chikwanini disobeyed it to play soccer with his friends.
It was during that time while we were playing when we saw a truck with military personnel racing towards the field. They surrounded the field and eventually grabbed all the kids and put us into a truck.
The militants drugged Chikwanini and the other kids, then trained them to use firearms. But that wasn't all.
I started to cry and I begged them again to let me go home. Instead, they forced me to kill someone. And they forced me to kill my best friend as a way of being entered basically into the group. And I feel guilty sometimes of the fact that I survived and he didn't.
Chikwanini managed to escape, but more violence followed. His family became casualties of DRC's ongoing unrest that has killed and displaced millions over the past 2 decades. His father, a human rights activist, was kidnapped. Then soldiers came to his house and grabbed his mother and 2 sisters.
And they started to rape them. And they held me on the wall and they told me to watch what was happening to try and send a message to my father.
Today, Chikwanini talks about his experience to audiences around the world, including during a recent peace conference here in Normandy. His family fled to Uganda, but then his father died, apparently from poisoning. Soon after, the remaining family was granted asylum in Canada.
With the beachhead secure, the infantrymen lost no time in driving on to other objectives.
France's northwestern Normandy region is a good place to talk about war. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers died here during World War II. Most were barely past childhood. In DRC, clerics are spearheading the fight for peace and demanding that long-delayed elections be held. Bishop Fulgence Muteba, who attended the Normandy Peace Forum, is one of them. From his diocese in southern DRC, he's also tried to help former child soldiers.
Ce sont des enfants que j'ai vus traumatisés, psychologiquement abattus.
Bishop Muteba says they were traumatized, so battered by the experience they almost had no feelings. So familiar with violence, their lives were no longer worth living. Many were left to cope on their own. Some committed suicide, others returned to violence.
I eventually made my way to a town called Wicha, which is
a far from. Chikwanine says even those who made it are forever scarred.
My fear is that we've become a community, an international community that normalizes wars, but does not normalize peace. And this is what is happening in the Congo specifically.
He hopes that peace, which returned to Normandy after the war, can return to DRC. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Caen, France.
A 24-year-old Ugandan has won the Africa Prize for Engineering Innovation by developing a low-cost reusable device that tests for malaria without drawing blood. Software engineer Brian Gitta won about $33,000 for Africa's biggest prize dedicated to engineering innovation, founded in 2014 by Britain's Royal Academy of Engineering. Gitta and his team developed the device that they named Matababu, Swahili for medical center. It clips onto a finger and uses a beam of red light that can detect changes in the shape, color, and concentration of red blood cells, which are affected by malaria. The data is fed to a cell phone. Results are available in a minute. Testing of the device is underway at a Ugandan university.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Patrick Dea, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, music lovers. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This week's edition brings you music, tributes, and stories of a legend, Leo Sarkisian. He passed away June 8th, 2018. The VOA Music Man founded Music Time in Africa in 1965. He always, alongside his beloved wife Mary, animated the homes and warmed the hearts of millions of African listeners for nearly 50 years with his music radio show. So don't miss it, Leo's final send-off. This Sunday and the following Saturday at 15:05 and 20:05 Universal Time.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports.
We will rock you.
Please join me at 1630 and 1830 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America. Go.